Why are we here tonight? Well, of course, we're here to hear some cool bike stories, right? You may not know it yet, but you're at a cycling advocacy event. You might not think of yourselves as cycling advocates. This might make you a bit uncomfortable even. But don't worry, this isn't your typical advocacy event. We're not here to beat the drum and preach the health benefits of cycling. We're not here to debate designs and infrastructure. We're not here to complain about how if we could just be a little more like those Europeans, things would surely be better. How many people do you know who brag to you about how much money they've saved while cycling, or gone on about the environmental benefits? Were these encounters particularly motivating or memorable? What about the people who told you about the first time they took their daughter on a bike? Or that incomparable feeling of freedom when they bike to work for the first time in their lives? These are the stories that are memorable, and it's these stories that make cycling amazing. You see, advocacy is not just about being the loudest or the most evidence-based voice in the room. It's also about being the most human voice in the room. It requires humanizing the struggles and the opportunities in a way that people can feel and emotionally connect to. This is why we're here tonight, to share stories. Stories of freedom and discovery, opportunity and connection. Stories of entire life trajectories which owe their very existence to one simple and mundane device, the bicycle. As for me, I've always been an avid cyclist. When I was 14, I biked 13 kilometers to my job on the other side of town and back once a week. I've been a commuter cyclist, a touring cyclist, a camping cyclist, and even a courier cyclist. But it wasn't until this past summer that I started to think differently about cycling. You see, last summer I visited Amsterdam. If you want to see the future of cycling, you don't need a crystal ball or a time machine. All you need is a plane ticket to the Netherlands. During my Dutch travels, I witnessed children biking independently to school, friends biking side by side socially, and thousands of people biking to work every day, wearing ordinary clothes, riding ordinary bikes. It was at this point I started thinking about the idea of a cycling culture. By this I mean not just how many people are riding the bikes, but who is riding the bike. Are there as many women as men riding bikes? Are there children riding bikes? Elderly people? Is biking something people just do to go to work and back? Or is it a way to visit friends and buy groceries? When people bike together, are they biking side by side? What kind of clothes are they wearing? Are they wearing helmets? These are the questions worth asking. So why are we here tonight? On one level, this is a simple gathering of people who love bikes and the cool things they've done with them. But on another level, this is the fostering and celebration of Toronto's cycling culture. One where you can find women, children, elderly people, and even visually impaired folks traveling on two wheels. One where the bike is not just a toy, but a tool for making life more worth living. Welcome to Bike Minds, and this is why we're here. Over this four-part series, we'll be exploring cycling in the GTHA, not with statistics, but with stories. On the third Wednesday of every month, we'll gather and we'll explore how bikes have connected people to each other, how they make everyday life work, how they bring communities together, and how they teach people more about themselves. Tonight is the first episode of Bike Minds, Bikes and Belonging. We have eight amazing speakers for you tonight, sharing six truly inspiring stories about how bikes connect us to each other and help foster lasting relationships.